Don't trip, don't trip. I'ma listen to the bootleg MP3. Post the front a lot demo on my FTP. Run away from the rappers who were just like me, cause they ain't appreciating who my DJ be.
Pushing
CPU could rock a beat.
And hoping
that if he does it, is it weak?
This is Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're listening to a song from a type of hip-hop you might not have heard about. Some people decry rap for inciting violence and homophobia. Sounds like that song's more about illegal file sharing. It's an emerging subgenre called nerdcore hip-hop. It's essentially rapping for geeks by geeks. Or really, I guess, for geeks by anyone who wants to listen to geeks rap. Nerdcore artists are more concerned with Star Trek conventions and astrophysics than street slang or bling. But the internet gives them a way to collaborate long distance and a global fan base. With me now is a nerdcore rapper, the man who coined the term, in fact, MC Frontalot, a.k.a. Damien Hess. Hi.
How do you do?
Do you want me to call you Frontalot or Damien?
How about Frontalot?
Okay,
word. I mean, just for fun.
So is this all done with tongue-in-cheek, or is, you know, people rap about their experience and what they care about most?
That and things that they have casual interest in, and I mean, I don't do it sort of to be clowny, but I certainly try and make all those songs funny because I like funny things. And
Public Enemy would probably say the same thing. You know, I don't Flavor Flav is like the humor relief, but still they're pretty serious about what they do.
I always thought of Chuck D as the funny one.
So the song that you heard, I think we heard a song there. Did it have a sample from Young Frankenstein in that song? Was that the song?
Yeah, there's THX 1138 is sampled in there, and Dionne Warwick performing one of the songs of Burt Bacharach.
Uh-huh.
That's from about 5 years ago when I was just sort of making demos for folks to listen to on the internet. I didn't sell any music for the last 5 years because I've put things together with samples like
that.
And
where did you advertise? On sort of computer forum type things?
I don't. I put up my webpage so my friends could look at it, and people sort of email this kind of thing to each other. Like, look at this hilarious dork rocking out on. By the way, I just have to say, I can't believe you bumped me for Arianna Huffington. I mean, who's ever heard of her?
We got you back an hour later. I mean, you know, we just swapped spots.
I slept in. It was excellent.
So let's hear another song. This is one about the African banking scam that seemed to pollute so many email boxes. Message 419. Do we have that?
Got a message from 419. Got a message from 419. This lucky day is mine.
This isn't intended for me, I don't think. It's a missive from the edge of despair. I mean brink of total desperation. The communication therein says her hopes for survival are slim. And she's writing to the front, though we've yet to meet, with a confidential matter, cause she's heard I'm discreet. And the urgency of her request for my aid is matched by the depth of the trust she displayed. Don't betray me like our oil minister did, staged a coup. And I'm about to flee Nigeria soon, but I'll never make it out, she says, with $20,320,000 that was still in her possession. She embezzled them, I guess. Look, I don't really know her, so that's none of my business. She's the Lady Mariam Abacha deposed. These days, can't even get her caps lock key unfroze. But yo, something about a widow in distress, with $20 million hidden in a metal chest, softened up the front a lot's heart, no doubt. So I hit the reply button and tell her I can help her out.
Got message number 419.
That was message 419 from MC Frontalot, a nerdcore rapper. In case you couldn't tell, you're listening to 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC. I'm Mike Pesca, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. The story in that song continued, and you replied, and guess what? It was a spammer. So now that you're a rapper, do you just rap about the basic, most common instances about whatever people do when they get an email? Or was there something about that that said, I have to rap about this?
That was actually for a compilation album that a band called Brad Sucks did out of Canada called Outside the Inbox, which was all songs by different artists inspired by email spam that had been infesting.
A song per spam, like the Buckner and Garcia video game album?
Of course, be impossible to record that many songs.
But I mean, was each track on the album
directed
to one specific common type of email spam?
Although there ended up being two about the Nigerian advance fee fraud scam. That was a popular topic.
And a popular spam, thus reflecting the popularity of the spam. Do you rap about other things?
I rap about just about anything. Most of them are sort of geeky topics. I've got a song about getting picked up at a Star Wars convention. I've got a song about internet porn addiction. Just, you know, the things that I worry about at night or that seem funny in the shower before I had coffee.
And do you have a professional studio? Do you kind of mix it on computers? Tell me about the rapping technically.
All on computer. I have a little project studio at home, and I just finished my first official album, and I did the whole thing on my laptop with the collaboration of people who work on their computers all over the world, actually.
How big is it? Who are the big stars, and how big are they in nerdcore?
Boy, I guess you'd say there are none, and that they're not famous. Although nerdcore is sort of opening its embrace. People have been saying that MC Paul Barman is nerdcore, and he had a couple of records, I think, produced by Prince Paul, so that's sort of credible.
Uh-huh.
And then also Del the Funky Homo Sapien, who used to have radio hits, I think, in the early 90s. He put out a whole sci-fi album with Dan the Automator called Deltron 3030, and people think of him sometimes as kind of being nerdcore.
Well, here's another song, speaking of sci-fi stuff. The song is called Fett's Vet. I'm going to guess that the Fett might be the last name of Mr. Boba Fett, a big Star Wars character.
I think that's correct.
All right, it's MC Chris, Fett's Vet.
6 feet, got an Imperial fleet backing me up, gonna blow up any attempt to defeat. They got a death star, got four payments on my car, handed over to Hammerhead, at most I see bar, used to carjack him, he's a bar back, just go to show how you can get back on the right track. Guess for me that's not an option, can't say that with more clarity, me going legit would be like Jar Jar with speech therapy. My backpack's got jets, well I'm Boba, the Fett, well I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my vet, well I chill in.
That was Fett's Vet by MC Chris.
I love that song. That song's hilarious.
Sure. How could you not? He's got backpacks. Do you speak for yourself. Do you like normal hip-hop? What are your big influences in the non-nerdcore branch of hip-hop?
I love it, and I grew up on it to a certain extent. And I don't know, the whole sort of idea behind nerdcore is a response to wishing I could be cool like those guys, and yet sitting in front of my computer rapping at the screen by myself, that's impossible. And so I sort of go at it from the other direction.
Right, don't even fake it, just totally embrace the fact, the least cool aspects of your personality.
More or less. Yeah. I mean, why attempt and fail at being a hip-hop star?
And just like in the world of hardcore rap, when one rapper might accuse another of not really being tough from the street and faking his street cred, does that go on? Like, you don't know C++ programming like I do? You've never watched the original Lucas THX short?
Believe it or not, I've actually seen things on message boards accusing me of being a poser. Uh-huh. A poser nerd, because I do not have a computer science degree. I'm much more of the English degree bookish type of nerd. I could, tell you about certain comic books.
Okay, but not literature per se. Is there lit rap? Is there, people rapping about Jane Austen and iambic pentameter?
I hope not. Jane Austen makes my teeth itch.
Well, I guess Jane Austen wouldn't be iambic pentameter either.
Either.
Yeah. I understand that you guys not only love the internet and rap about it as a topic, but you use it to collaborate. Is that easy?
It's certainly much easier than, say, traveling to Canada to work on a beat with Bad Spella. It's just, it's actually kind of amazing. We can both pull all-nighters in different time zones and go through 10 drafts of a song.
Well, the Postal Service, which is a regular rock band, did something like that. They sent tapes back and forth. But if they had just used an ISDN line, they could have gotten it quicker.
I don't know about that. You should never underestimate the bandwidth of physical media traveling through the mail. That was a good move on their part. Plus, they get analog credibility, which is going to be in short supply in the coming future.
Plus, they get to do commercials for the actual Postal Service in exchange for not getting sued by using the name.
How could the Postal Service sue?
They're a registered trademark. They're a brand.
But they're not a music. Oh man, I don't know about that.
Anyone can sue. So, do you guys, the nerdcore hip hoppers? Do you really want to sell? Who doesn't? But is this something that you're really working towards? Selling, having a gold nerdcore hip hop album, having one go platinum, sponsoring a real tour, or if it never gets past the avocational front, you'll be fine?
That's kind of a funny question. I know that MC Chris really started getting serious with it this year, and he He started a tour, I think, almost casually in January and wasn't able to stop. He's still on the road, selling out small venues everywhere. I've been trying to do that, too. I sort of convened a band. I've been gigging all summer here in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to just get rid of my web design day job and just do this all the time. That would be the greatest. But so far, I haven't... I've sort of studiously avoided getting my hopes tied up in that, because I've got my indie rock friends, and they've got their rock star dreams, and it's just, you're always worried about, oh, am I going to make this $3,000 back that I spent on this album? Or worse yet, you've got a label advance, you know, $15,000, and like, oh my God, if my album only makes $12,000, I'm going to owe them $3,000. And if you just put your music out there for free on the internet, like every, you know, five guys download it, then that's like plus five in your fame column. It's just everything is a positive.
Your fame hit points have increased.
Your fame hit points. So, but now I don't know. I just put this record together that I want to finally sell. It's like doesn't have any samples on it. It's all mine. I really want to be a music guy. I would just love that. It's like a little dream. But then I don't want to get tied up in that, because then you get disappointed.
Well, then you could do a, you know, behind the music, or behind the, you know, behind the programming code.
Behind the HTML. This week on Behind the HTML, the tragic open end bracket of MC Frontalot.
When you play live, how many people show up? And is it people who have maybe heard the song and you're not even friends of yours, but know every word because they've downloaded it?
I do find that very gratifying that the internet folks show up and they've got the t-shirt on and they're like mouthing the words along. In the Manhattan shows, we've been getting like 50 to 60 people. I drew about maybe 100 in Berkeley last summer. I'm about to do the Penny Arcade convention in Seattle at the end of the month, and that we're going to have an audience of about 2,500, I think, fit in the auditorium. That'll be my biggest crowd that I'll have rapped in front of.
Do you find that doing it live presents other challenges in terms of, how is your how would you assess your own live performances?
Well, my rapping in general is like pretty weak. I'm not good at it, but I do my best, and my band is very talented. There's some guys who I've known for a long time. They help me arrange the music, and they're a really solid funk band, and so the shows are fun, and like the kids who don't get out much are kind of standing there like bobbing their heads, and I don't know, it's a good vibe.
This is Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're rapping with MC Frontalot. He's one of the nerd rappers. You know, nerd rock is a little bit of a name for a genre where I guess it started with Devo and the flower pot hats that they wore on their head, and you know, Weezer is part of that. You know, they sang a song about Buddy Holly. Maybe he's the godfather of nerd rock. Are there any parallels between nerd rock and nerd rap?
That's a good question. I guess there are. There's a kind of lyric and a kind of a musical sensibility that appeal to people who are, you know, hanging out in their mom's basements who have X-Men posters on the wall. And sometimes that's a lyric like in that Weezer song about having X-Men posters on your wall. And sometimes it's just kind of a general feeling of I was not a popular kid, but I can be on your radio anyway. Ha ha. I don't know that was Devo's thing. Devo was kind of like so hip that they came out the other side and wore flower pots on their heads.
How much of what you're doing or what aspects, I know you love rap, but what aspects are even slight tweaks of some of the aspects to rapping that, you know, come in for criticism? Like, I know that you use a lot of lyrics that kind of satirize how often they use homophobia in rap lyrics.
I do have a song about how much I love gay people. I think I did that just, well, actually I did that as a political song. I grew up in Berkeley, so I occasionally can't help myself and make protest songs. And the defensive, or the whatever marriage amendment nonsense was being proposed, and I made that song, the title of which I don't think I can actually say on the air, but I do have songs that are kind of responses to rap culture, but I really want to avoid any semblance of like parodying rap music, because I don't want to parody rap music. I don't find rap music absurd. I think that the absurd thing is like me making rap music. So I like to make fun of myself, but I don't make fun of gangsterism or like shooting people. I don't think any of that stuff's funny.
So instead of the NWA song, you know, F the Police, do you have a similar take against, I don't know, people who are trying to crack down on Grokster or something like this?
I haven't, but I will make a note of it for the next record.
And are there, just like there's an East Coast, West Coast, often East Coast, West Coast beefs in the rap world resulting in murder, is there a similar Linux Windows split in the nerdcore rap community?
No, but that would be a pretty good thing to engineer. There were these two. Yes.
You got to get publicity. Exactly. That's what. If Hot 97 has taught us nothing, it's that you need beefs to get your publicity.
It's true. I don't know. I don't like parodying. I don't like parodying the rap culture, and I especially don't like parodies of the East Coast West Coast rivalry, because people get killed from that in the real world, and it's just, you know, it's tragic.
And do you think that there's an opportunity for people who maybe don't, you know programming but are into the music to take off? This could take off.
Well, that's kind of the neat thing about it, is anybody can do it at this point. If you have a computer and it has a sound card and you get like a $15 microphone from Radio Shack or somewhere, you can create some kind of nerdcore hip-hop song, and probably it's not going to be any good, but like at least 6 or 7 people who you've never met will listen to it on the internet, and that's, you know, more than a really talented offline folk singer is going to get.
How many people on the internet?
I think there are 7 people on the internet now. It's really
No, how many people did you say would listen to it on the internet? What number did you give?
8, 12. My memory goes back only a very brief amount of time.
Because I noticed that you call yourself, I mean, this is pretty bold claim, the world's 579th greatest rapper. How'd you come up
very,
with that number?
Very, very careful calculation.
Is it going up and down at all, the rankings?
Strangely, no. Every time a rapper who's better than me drops out, somehow somebody improves enough to outrank me.
Slotting in front of you.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And is that the coach's poll or the media poll? All right, right now we're hearing another one of your songs. We'll go out on this. This one's called Yellow Lasers. It's on your upcoming album. It tells the story of you meeting a girl at a Star Wars convention. True story?
Let's hope not.
MC Frontalot, a.k.a. Damien Hess. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
This is Mike Pesca.
Somebody's standing up here now. This girl, you have to understand, would not look out of place on the arm of an attractive man. So the geeks in attendance got jaws on the floor. One extends his saber, but he tripped on his cloak. I stepped to the front, then I spoke. I ain't spitting game, look, I got a Wookiee hat on. But these guys here are used to getting spat on by girls. See, you put them in shock, and this ain't the right con to quote Mr. Spock, but it's highly illogical to me. Girl, look me in the eye, said, is your mind free?